persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Are you ready for your gray matter massage?
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march. A communist coup update, my friend. As if the housing market was not already on life support, tottering on the edge of the abyss, buried to the neck in an avalanche. I've mixed my metaphors like a tossed salad here. Let's go with an avalanche of croutons and drowning in blue cheese. And now the banks are backing off foreclosures. Quote, Bank of America has announced they will halt foreclosures nationwide, including the D.C. area, because of concerns about mishandled mortgage documents, end quote. They and J.P. Morgan have halted foreclosures. Last week, Citigroup and Wells Fargo were sending signals that they would also halt foreclosures, but I'm reading now that Wells Fargo has decided not to interrupt the process. Obama is concerned about this. He wants the banks to speedily address whatever documentation problems they have and get back to the business of foreclosing on literally hundreds of thousands of homes across the nation. Now, that does sound a little bit odd, doesn't it? Obama, the scourge of the banks, wants the banks to hurry up and get back to foreclosing on defaulted mortgages. Does sound rather Scrooge-esque, does it not? Here, quote, several lawmakers on Capitol Hill are calling for other banks to initiate nationwide foreclosure freezes, a move which the Obama administration is currently opposing, end quote. Why would Obama, of all people, be on the side of banks continuing foreclosures? He did put together some kind of a program allowing mortgagors to renegotiate their loans so they could not have to foreclose, right? There are allegations that the banks are forging documents to prove that they own the mortgage. I'll explain that a little bit more in a minute. Now, Obama has been the scourge of the bankers, has he not? If such allegations do exist, don't you suppose Obama, of all people, would be out front calling for the banks to halt foreclosures until all of this is cleared up? Now, I warn you, this foreclosure business is a convoluted mess, my friends. It's difficult to explain, but I'm going to try just for you. We know that Obama wants to control the banks. That's a given. He pretends he's doing it for the little guy. But, hey, why are all these people defaulting on their loans and not simply working with the banks to renegotiate their loan with all that money, that taxpayer money, that Obama has infused into the banks? Or should I say, with all the taxpayer money that Obama used to buy or, say, nationalize the banks? Obama doesn't hate the banks. He loves them, man. He wants to own them. Wall Street Journal article dated April 4, 2009, quote, Obama wants to control the banks, end quote. And yeah, we know that Obama has been trying to nationalize the banks like a true socialist. He hates the filthy capitalist golem, and he wants to destroy them. Okay, well, remember when the banks tried to pay back the bailout money? Obama attempted to block it so he could continue to control the banks. Now, he pretends to hate the banks. Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard observed Obama's interference with the banks has slowed job growth by, quote, regulating banks, spanking credit card companies, and limiting executive bonuses, end quote. That's interesting. Obama's bailouts, actually his union dues payoffs, to take over GM and Chrysler, and all of this has made him a public enemy of the free market. And I might add, who has not heard Obama speak evil of profits? You know, the evils of the profit motive. Why would Obama want the banks to resume, as quickly as possible, the business of taking people's homes from them? That doesn't sound like a good socialist, now does it? Charlie Gasparano, I think it's how you pronounce his name, smells a rat in all of this. He's Fox Business News correspondent. He thinks it's political, man. I guess he means he thinks the banks are taking a slap at Obama. I don't get it. I guess the idea is that this will create problems in the housing market. But I'm having a hard time understanding that. There's no doubt about that. But I'm having a hard time understanding the political angle of the banks on this. When Charlie was asked what he meant when he said it was political, he did not offer any clear explanation. If it is true that Obama does perceive this will cost him something politically, well, then I guess Obama is all against the capitalist system except when he's the one who stands to lose. Then it's full steam ahead, foreclose, foreclose, foreclose. Why is Obama and company concerned about this? That's my question. Why would socialist Obama want the banks to resume foreclosures as quickly as possible? Something seems strange to me here. I wonder how many foreclosed properties George Soros has his hands into, huh? I wonder what Obama supporter is, quote, investing in foreclosed properties, end quote. I wonder why Obama is so interested in getting the pig through the python. Pig through the python? Now, I am told that is a metaphor that bankers use, popular with bankers, to use as a description of the foreclosure crisis. The foreclosure snafu is the pig in the python, I guess, and the snake can't continue its business until the pig becomes snake doo-doo. I don't know. The theories are that the banks are manufacturing this problem as a way of punishing Obama. Well, I guess it wouldn't be hard to find a motive for that. I mean, Obama has certainly done more to interfere with banks than any president since Andy Jackson. However, the banks certainly have no interest in letting people squat in their houses, pay nothing while values continue to sink. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, on the side of the banks, it does not make sense that they would want to halt foreclosures as a way of punishing Obama. Personally, I don't think the banks are using this as a political maneuver to get back at Obama. Actually, I think certain bankers and deep pockets moguls like Soros are controlling the puppet strings of Obama. Obama's a partner in all of this. Besides, that's not how bankers are focused. They are focused on protecting their assets and making money for their investors. Halting foreclosures can only mean there is something about the process of the foreclosures that is threatening the protection of their assets or potentially threatens the protection of their assets and or the interests of their investors. So, look, here's what's going on. Back there in the Clinton years, with the help of some Republicans, they allowed the banks to securitize their mortgage portfolios. Now, what does that mean? Well, look at it this way. A bank can sell shares of interest in their mortgage portfolio to other investors, or in other words, hundreds of different individual investors can own a slice of the bank's mortgage on your home. Now, Clinton then put pressure on banks to make bad loans, and that is loans to people who did not really qualify for the loan. This created a glut of bad or high-risk loans that the banks were carrying, and banks are quick to adjust to changes in the political landscape. One way the banks sought to protect themselves was to securitize their mortgage portfolios. By the way, a mortgage portfolio would be the group of mortgages the bank holds. Or in other words, they sold shares in their mortgage portfolios to individual investors through the stock market. Now, this created a strange situation where the bank, per se, was not the sole owner of a mortgage. The mortgage was owned by several different investors. And of course, it would be absurd to list on a mortgage document the names of all the investors who have purchased an interest in the bank's mortgage portfolio. I mean, you might have hundreds of names. Are you following this? Now, the bank owns, let's say, 1,000 mortgages. The bank looks at these mortgages and says, let's say, well, 70% of these are bad loans that have a very high probability of defaulting. So the bank puts these on the stock market, where investors can purchase interest in the mortgages, and in this way, of course, they disperse the risk. When the housing market was going crazy at a 1,000 feet per second climb straight for the stars, investors dumped money into these investments with great enthusiasm. When the housing market began to crash, the investors dumped their stocks in these things. See, that's the thing. They're with an investor, they can walk away from it, but the bank couldn't. Anyway, this threw the banks into a crisis. So, now, how about this foreclosure crisis? Let's say this portfolio of 1,000 mortgages is owned by 500 investors. With the bank, that gives you 500 owners of the mortgages. Each investor became partial owner of a share of the mortgage. And this was reflected on the note that was signed by the buyer of his shares and by the seller of the shares, which would be the bank. Now, these hundreds of notes were then all registered with a system called MERS, M-E-R-S. It stands for Mortgage Electronic Registration System. It's an acronym. MERS was created to track down or to keep track of who owns a mortgage. So it's a database that keeps all this information sorted out. Now, because you might have 100 or more owners, some lenders simply listed MERS on the official mortgage document. You see, as mortgagee or lender. But MERS cannot be a lender. It's only a system by which the lender for a particular mortgage can be identified. No problem, right? I mean, all we have to do is go look into the database of MERS to identify the mortgagee. Well, the fast and furious booming housing market of the not too distant past created a situation where it's embarrassing, but some mortgage notes were not delivered to MERS. So when you go to MERS, there is confusion about who owns the mortgage. So if you're being foreclosed on, you can demand to see the note. And this did generate a kind of show me the note ploy used by some owners to, basically steal their house from the bank. Obviously, in these foreclosure situations, the mortgagor owes some mortgagee, and of course, the pig will get through the python. If you made a deal to pay a certain amount for a house, and you cannot or will not make the payments, well, you're going to have to forfeit ownership of the house to the person whose money you used to buy it. And I certainly would not advocate exploiting some technicality as a way to beat the bank out of their money. That's robbery. I mean, if the table was turned the other way, you would be screaming to high heaven about the evil bankers trying to rip you off. What I find interesting in all of this is that Obama, who calls a $50 billion roads bill a jobs bill, oh yeah, it's another union dues payoff he's extending to his cronies in the unions. Does this man think the government can hire everybody and pay them with taxpayer money? Does he not understand that this is not creating jobs, it's creating more burden upon the nation's budget? We need real jobs, man, created in the free market. The government is broke. It can't afford to hire Obama's union buddies to build roads for $50 billion. This madness has got to stop. And he wants to give $1.25 billion to 66,000 black farmers to settle a discrimination case when the fact is there were never more than 33,000 black farmers during the time the discrimination allegedly took place. What is going on here? But my point here is that this guy, Obama, keeps putting himself out there as a defender of the poor and downtrodden. And here's a situation where some banks are allegedly forging documents and doing some other underhanded things, I understand, in some rare instances, in the pursuit of foreclosing on people's homes. And, you know, in any other situation, you would expect Obama would jump all over this and demagogue it fully. But all of a sudden, he's on the side of those calling for the foreclosure mills to get back to full capacity at something like 3,000 plus foreclosures per day. I mean, something like that. It was over 100,000 in September. It's just odd to me. Makes me wonder what interest Soros has in resuming foreclosures as quickly as possible, huh? Or maybe some of his Saudi buddies are investing in foreclosed properties in America, eh? All right, folks, I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
Church is not the place to be trolling for chicks, and it's not a talent show for rockers. So if you want a rock concert, call Ticketmasters. But if you're looking for a church that takes the Lordship of Jesus seriously, and you can endure sound doctrine proclaimed straight from the Bible with the preaching that tells it like it is, without fear or compromise, come to the Lighthouse, where we are shining the light of God's truth to help families safely navigate through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
Think every American needs a brain massage? We agree. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today. Or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about two, to blow your mind.
I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur. It's time to complete your brain massage for today. This is Weird, a naked guy, and we're talking birthday suit naked, somehow got into a rally where Obama was speaking somewhere in Philadelphia and did the streaking thing. Some radical right-wing nut job, right? Wrong. The streaker is Juan J. Rodriguez. And he supports Obama, thinks he's doing a great job, and he did it for profit. Oh, yeah, that's right. He was trying to collect on a promise of $1 million to the person who would streak an Obama rally while advertising his video sharing website. Anyway, this streaker offered to share some of the money with Obama. And maybe that's why Secret Service interviewed the streaker and determined he was harmless. Another fan threw a book at Obama at the same rally. Oh, now there's your right-wing nut job, right? No, this was an Obama fan. We don't know what book it was, but Secret Service has determined he just wanted Obama to read and have a copy of his book. This is crazy. We know Obama's numbers have gone into the tank. You can almost hear the flushing sound of the toilet. What kind of fans does he have left? I guess this is it. You know, he's tanked in the polls abysmally, and this is all he's got left. Crazies who run through the rally crowd naked and nuts who throw books at him. Well, I'm sure you've heard the racket over allegations that Karl Rove and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce are funneling millions in foreign money to fund attack ads against Democrats. Well, what's the proof? Well, millions of dollars are being used to fund attack ads against Democratic candidates. There you go. Oh, yeah. Well, Americans are sick and tired of the Democrats' effort to steal their heritage of freedom and liberty for all, and they're fighting back. So what is your proof that foreign money is being funneled through the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to fund these ads? Well, here it is, folks. I kid you not. Here is the substance of the allegation. The fact that the U.S. Chamber will not open their records and let the Democrats go fishing in those records looking for evidence that foreign money is being funneled into the campaign against the Democrats' efforts to advance communism in America. I mean, they're saying, Axelrod says, if they have nothing to hide, why not reveal who is giving this money? That's very interesting. I wonder if the liberals listening to me have really bought into that. Have you grabbed hold of that? Well, let me, there's a hook in this, friend, that's just got you hooked. These people are the most outrageous bunch of liars and hypocrites. First of all, what foreign money would want to stop the Democrats in America from continuing with their progressive move to turn America into a communist satellite of the European Union under the thumb of George Soros and his buddies? Perhaps European money, right? Like France and Germany or even the United Kingdom, as if they have any interest in interfering with the current communist coup? No, their money, like that of George Soros, is pumped into the campaign coffers of the communists over here. Well, maybe it's Arab money trying to stop the communist takeover of America. No, that's not right. That money goes to Obama and his supporters, huh? I mean, the outrage. Hey, Obama, you have just admitted that you received illegal foreign donations to your campaign. How is that, you say? Listen up, Lib. According to you, if the U.S. Chamber of Commerce objects to opening their donation records to your goons, you know, well, that proves they are receiving illegal foreign donations to influence American elections, right? Well, then by that same rule, you must be guilty of receiving foreign money in the Obama campaign because he has refused to open his records and let us see where that money came from. In fact, we know for a fact that Obama accepted untraceable donations in his campaign. And we have seen enough of your secreted records to know some of that came from Saudi Arabia. The reason the U.S. Chamber will not let your hitmen see their records is because you and your thugs, Mr. Obama, President alleged, will target any company you can who doesn't support your agenda to take America over and convert it to a communist state. Always trying to silence your opponents, aren't you? Always trying to intimidate. When we asked you to prove no Arab money was going into your campaign, you refused to prove it by opening your records. When we asked you to prove you are truly qualified to hold the office of president, you hire lawyers and spend millions to keep your personal records secret, hidden from public view. You won't even let us have a copy of your long-form birth certificate or see your college records and explain how you received a grant for education grant that's given only to foreign students. and you hide your passport records, you are a liar, sir, and you have absolutely no standing to demand the Chamber of Commerce prove they're not using foreign money to influence this campaign by opening their records to you. All right, let's make a deal. You show your cards, Mr. Obama, President alleged, and then I'll support calling on the Chamber to show theirs. All right. Let us turn our attention to national security issues for a moment. It looks more and more like we are moving toward a conflict with Pakistan now. Obama's not helping us at all with these national security issues. Troop buildup in Afghanistan has become necessary, and word is we might be tied up in Afghanistan for 3 or more years beyond what was expected only a short while back. At rumblings, by the way, that Al-Qaeda is establishing strong footholds in Pakistan. All of this is of great concern to us. Pray for our troops. My own son is scheduled to be deployed to Afghanistan in March. And the scuttlebutt is that some sort of action against Iran is being contemplated. We noticed that the U.S. dollar has surged in value in Iran recently and moved from an exchange rate of 10,500 rials, I believe that's how you pronounce it, to $1, now to 12,500 rials to a dollar. Iranians want the greenbacks, man. Why would they want the money of the great Satan? Well, you know how it is when it comes to money. But we've seen this kind of thing in the past. Did you wonder with me why Israel has been so quiet about Iran's stubborn pursuit of nuclear bomb capabilities? A computer virus, a cyberworm called Stuxnet, has been injected into the controls of Iran's nuclear, military, and strategic systems. Iran is convinced Israel has planted the virus. Of course, they're blaming America as well. And Iran has threatened retaliation. At the same time, U.S., quote, alarmed by harsh tone of China's military, end quote. You know, Clinton gave up military secrets to China, allowing them to develop missiles with nuclear warheads capable of reaching America. Now I understand China has 13 nuclear-armed missiles aimed at American targets. I remember a while back, the Chinese commander openly threatened his American counterpart with war. The Chinese have long held what they have come to call the China Dream. Now, the China Dream is that one day China will replace America as the supreme world-dominating power. Yet at home, believe it or not, almost half of Americans see their own government as public enemy number one. Quote Gallup, 46% say U.S. government poses immediate threat to the rights and freedoms of U.S. citizens, end quote. Now, friend, we hope that in November we'll begin turning the ship of state away from the falls toward which Obama has led us to safe harbor so that we can refocus our attention on the rising threat of China and Iran and the Pakistan-Afghanistan connection. Iran and China have traditionally been very friendly, my friends. Indeed, Iran has had the unique ability to keep strong ties with Russia and China, even when Russia and China were eyeing each other warily. The Bible teaches that when a nation forgets God, he casts that nation into hell. What does that mean? Does the ground open up and the entire nation falls into the abyss? No, actually, what it means is that God will honor the nation that honors him, and he will despise the nation that despises him. It means that God will turn that nation that he despises over to be destroyed by the gods that nation has chosen to worship. It means God will turn such a nation over into the hands of Satan. It means their own iniquities will take hold and work the ruin of that nation. Now, I'm certainly hoping for a revival of pure religion in America, a revival of righteousness as defined by the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tremble when I get stuff like this sent to me. Not that I object to the senders sending this kind of thing to me. Actually, I appreciate the material I receive from my listeners. In fact, I appreciate this. It gave me a heads up on something. And I use the material I receive from you quite often. Now, some of you might have sent some stuff I didn't use. Don't take offense. Often, by the way, I'll slate something to be used for a show, and in the development of the show, it just doesn't make it to the final broadcast. But it'll probably come up later. Anyway, when I get something like this, it just breaks my heart. And it goes to the warning I've been giving conservatives, and you'd better look out. Now listen, please listen to this and think about this. I'm quoting, by the way, an email message I had forwarded to me. I am truly perplexed that so many of my friends are against a mosque being built near Ground Zero. I think it should be the goal of every person to be tolerant, and in that spirit, this mosque should be allowed. That is why I also propose that 2 nightclubs be opened next door to the mosque, thereby promoting tolerance within the mosque. We could call one of the clubs, which would be gay, the Turban Cowboy. And the other, being a topless bar, you make a me hot. You make a me hot. You get it. Next door should be a butcher shop that specializes in pork. And adjacent to that, have an open barbecue pork rib restaurant called something like Iraco Ribs. Well, now that one's kind of cute. Across the street, there could be a very daring lingerie store called Victoria Keeps Nothing Secret, with sexy mannequins in the window modeling the goods. Next door to the lingerie shop, there would be room for an adult toy shop. Carnal Knowledge. Its name in flashing neon lights, and on the other side, a liquor store, maybe we'll call it More Hammered. Play on Muhammad. Yeah, okay. Then the Muslims could be allowed to show their tolerance. Problem solved. Now, I'm sure you thought that's pretty cute. Many of you, anyway. But don't you see? Some Christian conservatives slip into this. You're stepping into the snare, my friend. Don't you see this has to be offensive to the God of our fathers, to the God of, okay, George Washington? Don't you think George Washington would be kind of embarrassed by this kind of nonsense, this kind of talk? I mean, the idea that what separates America from all the rest is how wicked we can be with impunity? No public shame for lewdness. Indeed, lewdness is applauded, praised, honored. Here, lifted up as proof that we're better than them. You're fools. You are sticking your stupid, arrogant chin into heaven's face and daring him to slap you. And you're about to get his attention. De Tocqueville observed that what made America great was that America was good. And he warned that when America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. I am aware that some dispute whether this was said by Alex de Tocqueville, but it is commonly attributed to him. And if you've read his book, you know it certainly reflects his sentiment. In any event, whoever said it was right on. So don't try to worm away from the point here. Now, our own citizens do not extol America's virtue. Rather, they extol America's tolerance of vice as if that was a virtue. If we don't have an awakening to righteousness, we are doomed as a nation. There are things developing in China right now that should sober you silly Christianettes up and get you on your knees. While China is rising as a serious economic and military power in the world, debuting their new military jets over the skies of Iran, there is also a very strong underground church rising in power with many persons with important posts in the government who secretly are serving Christ. Oh, yeah. A very conceivable set of circumstances could convene that would result in God taking China up as his battle axe and rod of anger against this country. You'd better wake up. I wish you conservatives would listen to me. You are embracing the foolish notion that America is great because America is wicked and proud of it. These little things are cute, maybe, you know, but you can't you hear how it must sound to God? And by the way, you know what God I'm talking about. All right, folks, I've got to close it up. I hope you've enjoyed your brain massage today. If you want a copy of this broadcast, go to www.santamarialighthouse.org. Santa Maria Lighthouse, all one word, lowercase. And you can download a copy from our website. And by the way, you may distribute these free. Don't charge anybody for them, but just distribute them free. Get them out. That's fine. If you're not web savvy, you can call our toll-free number at 1-888-770-8000. That number is 1-888-770-8000. It's a listener call-in hotline, but you can leave a message saying you want the CD for the show. I've lit the lights in the Belfry Arch that signal the enemy's on the march. Call in and let me know you see the lights are on. I'm paying for the call. Call 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you're with me, lights off if you disagree with me. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.